Why don't you go over to Psalm 100? We're going to look at a verse over here that I think maybe we're familiar with, but that's not doing us any good because we're familiar with it. We want to plant it deeper inside of us. Psalm 100, we're going to read verse number 3. Remember, verse number 1 and 2 says, "Bless the Lord and forget not all his benefits." Here's one of his benefits, verse number 3, the very first one. "He forgives all thy iniquities, heals all thy diseases, and redeems thy life from destruction," so forth and so on. And then he said in verse number 7, did I say verse number 4? I meant the verse number 7. It says, "He made known his ways unto Moses and his acts unto the children of Israel." He made known. That's one of his benefits. Amen. So just like you cash in on all the other benefits, you want to cash in on this.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
This is a benefit, and that is his ways.
Yes.
He'll make known his ways to you.
Yes.
Now we are, and rightly so, we're focused on what he has provided for us as believers, as his children. And we thank God for what he's provided for us in Christ. Hallelujah. In the redemption. We have an inheritance. You ever read the Bible? The Bible talks about the riches of the glory, the inheritance we have in him as saints. And I was reading that one time. I said, "Lord, that says the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." And I said, "That's talking about his, he inherited us." I said, "Yeah, but you're in him."
Yeah.
I mean, he said to me, "Yeah, but you're in him."
Yeah.
And everything he inherited, you inherited.
Yes. Amen.
So I inherited you.
All right. Now. Praise God.
You inherited me. We didn't have each other before we came into Christ.
That's right. That's right.
My goodness. Anyway, so everything he inherited, we inherited. But that's the inheritance. We thank God for the inheritance. We thank God for what he's provided for us. But look here, it's important to us to learn what he has provided for us in life. But it's just as important to know the ways that he brings us into it. And Israel never got there. Here, this verse says he made known his ways unto Moses, but not to Israel. It wasn't that God was trying to hide from Israel. He kept saying what his ways were, but they weren't that interested in getting that close to God.
Right.
They didn't want to go that far.
Right.
You know, anybody know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely.
I mean, if you don't know what I'm talking about, just think of some of the believers that you know, maybe that aren't as hungry as you are, and they're content just to be saved.
Yeah.
They don't want to know anything about how God does anything.
Right. Yeah.
You know, but you know people like that. I know people like that. Sometimes people say, "Well, I watch myself." Certain ones tell me they're hungry, and I say, "Well, you know what God has taught us is on social media every service." Yeah, and they've been hearing that for 20 years, never have listened to anything, hardly anything. Well, they're not that hungry.
Yeah, come on.
They say it. They give lip service to it.
Yeah.
You know, but they're not hungry enough to actually go for it.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, you get really hungry. You're not. Some people aren't hungry enough.
Yeah.
They're okay with getting beat up. And they're okay with going around the same old mountain over and over again.
Thank you.
I'm not okay with that.
But
you got to be interested. Anybody interested in here? Anybody interested in the way he does things?
Yes.
You're really interested? Well, you're here Wednesday night. That shows you are. I mean, on a pretty summer evening. But knowing his ways, knowing his ways, that just went off on me. I was going to go a different direction up until about 5:30. So we're going to get off on this. Hallelujah. God has ways about him just like people have ways about him. You know, I can be in a room where I can't see out the door, but I can hear somebody walking in our house, and I can know that's not Mom, that's Debbie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just because that's the way she walks.
Yeah.
Everybody's got ways about them.
Yes.
Right? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You've learned the ways of your spouse, probably, at least to a degree.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
You know how they're going to react whenever you say this, they're going to do that.
Yeah.
Amen. So, but we won't go any further on that, but... Everybody's got ways about him, and God's got ways about him.
Yes.
And so the sooner you can learn his ways, the quicker you'll be able to walk with him.
Yes.
I say it this way sometimes. I don't want to be zigging when God's zagging.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? You ever heard of zigzag?
Yeah.
Well, if God's zigging, I don't want to zag.
Right. Yeah.
I want to write with him. If he's going this direction, I want to go this direction. If he's going another direction, I want to go another direction. But so I want to look at this because there's so many things you could talk about regarding this. But I want to, and I had a prompting to talk about it regarding faith. And you might say, well, you teach and preach on faith all the time. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad changed your life? Changed my life. The judge shall live by faith. I mean, if you don't know anything about faith, you don't know how to live for God. So without knowing faith, so we really won't be able to walk with him and what he's even got for us in life or the plan that he has for us in life. So when I know, for example, whenever we started seeing the plan to plant the church in Kansas City, one of the things, among many things he said to me was, I'm going to lead you concerning the church plant and everything. He said, I'm going to do things in such a way and lead you in such a way that teaches you faith. Amen. That was a statement he made to me. Amen. I know when I heard that, I thought, that reminds me. He was talking about that particular faith adventure, you know, planting the church. But I said to myself, that reminds me of something similar, not exactly, but something that the Lord said to Brother Hagin. He said, go teach my people faith. Yeah. Then he said something. He said, I've taught you faith through my word and through certain experiences I've allowed you to go through. Right. And then he said, go teach my people what I've taught you.
Yes. Right.
Amen.
Amen.
So, and the Lord said to me, I'm going to do this in such a way and lead you in such a way concerning this church plant in such a way that teaches you faith. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Teaches you faith. Well, that set all kinds of things off in my spirit, and I want to share some of them with you tonight. Because that's not unique to me. It might be unique. The plan that God has for us might be unique, but it's the fact that he wants to do things in your life in such a way that teaches you faith is not, it belongs to you just like it belongs to me. In other words, the most important thing in the way he leads you, the most important consideration is not always what's most comfortable on your flesh.
That's right. Yeah, come on.
You know what I'm talking about? What maybe is most comfortable for you financially? Hello? That's not the highest consideration in how he chooses to lead you or chooses to lead me. The highest consideration is how's this going to affect their faith? Now that could be, there could be two sides of that. Number one, he won't lead us to stretch beyond our measure of faith. Because he's not trying to damage our faith. You get out beyond your measure of faith, that's going to damage your faith. Remember Romans, the 12th chapter. Remember in verse number three, say to every man among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith.
Yes.
Well, God starts us all out on an equal measure, but some of us have developed it. Some of us have developed a degree, some of us to another degree, but we've developed it, and whatever level we're at in faith, that's a consideration in how he leads us.
Yes.
In other words, we might not get leadings into certain things yet because we're not ready for it in faith. But listen to me very carefully, he will lead us in things that help build our faith to get ready for what he really wants us to use our faith in. Because you can't build faith just by hearing. You got to build it by using it. You got to build it by using it. Amen. I mean, if you want to get to the place believing for cars, paying cash for cars, which we finally got there. It took us a while. But then start out on believing God for a pair of socks, cash. If that's been a struggle for you, I don't know where you're at, but my point is find something and start using your faith for it.
Amen.
Praise God. And build your faith. Sometimes people go on and on about, well, I just don't have that kind of faith. Well, what are you doing to build that kind of faith?
Right. Amen. Yes, sir.
What are you doing to build that? Are you just sitting around watching TV when you get home from work? Oh, I said that by inspiration. I don't think anybody. Amen. I'm not preaching against TV, but if you really want to have faith, feed it. And then step out over the aching void with nothing under you but the Word of God.
Amen.
And let that faith grow.
Yes.
So number one, when he said, I'm going to lead you in such a way, and do things in such a way that teaches you faith. Number one, that means that faith is one of the considerations in how he leads us. How's this going to affect his faith?
Yeah.
You know, to us, other things are, especially if we're walking in the flesh or the natural mind, other things are more of a consideration than they are with him. And spiritual things, until our minds are renewed, are not as much of a consideration in our decision-making processes as it is with him.
Yes.
In other words, he's not just working on getting us where he wants us to be in life. He's working on the man that arrives there. Does that make any sense? Hold on, you'll get to enjoying this. He works on the man. In other words, he knows what he wants to do in your life.
Yeah.
And in order to get you there, he knows what kind of faith you need to be walking in.
Yeah.
And so he's the author and the finisher of your faith, right? And as the author and finisher of your faith, he'll work with you and really he'll give you test runs.
Yeah. Yeah.
He'll teach you a spiritual truth. You came to the church he told you to. He'll teach you a spiritual truth. And then he'll say, okay, now step out and do this.
Yep. Yes, sir.
Hey, where's my blankie? Where's my blankie? Where? Flunk, flunk, flunk. Okay. Can't take him on yet. Okay. Pastor Jay, preach on that again. I get inspirations. Preach on it again. All right. Praise God. You shouted in church. And then he says, all right, now step out and do this. Hey, where's my blankie? Where's my blankie?
Come on.
Yes, sir.
Come on. Amen. We all know what we're talking about.
Yes.
Yes. Amen.
Yeah.
God will get sort of, I don't know how to say it better than this. I heard that whenever eagles, little eaglets grow up in the nest and mama wants them out of the nest, she'll start pulling the feathers or whatever lining out of it so there's nothing up there but sharp twigs. You know, they got it. It's not comfortable anymore. Well, God will pull the lining out of your little comfortable crib, your little spiritual crib. Yeah. So I just love, Pastor Jay, I just love that I get so much attention as a spiritual baby. Yeah, well, that'll last only so long.
Yeah, that's right.
Anybody find that out? Pastor Jay, Pastor Debbie, God, angels, everything, everybody used to always run to you. Soon as you start crying and sucking your thumb, and we just ministered to you, and she's always on the phone with you. But now anymore, it's like you get chewed out. Ann chews you out. She just.
Oh my God, it's good.
Where's your faith? Click.
That's good. Hey, it's good. That's what you need. That's what you need.
Not quite, but it's kind of close. She's a small package, but she's pretty bold, you know. There ain't no more love in this church. Oh, that's love. You just don't know what love looks like.
Yes,
pull the lining out. Get out there out of that comfort zone and walk by faith.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. She has so perfected grabbing people's heads and turning it back to the Word. I think she can do it in her sleep. She can just, okay, look back at, okay, look back to the Word. Well, the doctor said, turn. My son, attend to my Word. Attend to my Word.
Amen.
And it used to be so gentle and soft. And now it's like, turn. Hey, how many of you know whenever when you had children grow up, you growing up children, you guys growing up children,
yeah.
The older they get, the less you stroke them.
Right.
Whenever they have a little boo-boo. Right? You get to the place, now you're a big boy now, you know.
Yeah.
Tough, you're tough. You're boo-dax.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Right? Amen. Wouldn't you think it's strange that their children grow up and they're 18, 21 and all of that, and they're coming into the living room with their little blankie and the little bottle. Mommy, can I have something to eat?
No.
I mean, they're going to tell their children something different than they used to tell them when they were 2 years old.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah, you're hungry. Right there's the refrigerator. You know where the bologna is or the sliced turkey is?
Or yeah, that's right.
Get yourself something. I'm not even getting out of this chair. You go get yourself something. Yeah, besides that, go get a job and start paying for it, you know?
Yes.
Well, what if their children said, well, that's not love. You used to not do that to me. Oh, that's love, you big youngin. That's big love.
Amen.
And just so you know, by the time you're 30, you're out of this house. You know what I'm talking about? And if you can do it earlier than that, that'd be better. Rent starts being charged at 25 years old, all right? Rent.
Yes. Get out. That's right.
Glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So he's gonna it's important to him that you grow in faith. It's important. It's something's wrong when people aren't growing.
Said it's 18.
18. Okay. LaDonna said it's 18. That means it's 18. That's right. It's 18. 16. No, not quite. You better let them grow up a little bit.
Whatever works.
But really, we expect more out of people as they grow.
Yeah.
Don't you? You expect your children, you expect more out of them as they grow up.
Yes.
And God's the same way.
Yes.
God's the same way.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't get as much, I don't want to say I don't get as much nurturing from God as I used to, but I just don't need it. You know what I'm talking about? And I can't expect God to just stroke me every little time. Every time a little worry comes to me, oh, God. I don't get the strokes that I used to get. I get things like this, cast your care on the Lord and buck up. That's kind of what I get. Amen. I don't know how I got off on that, but that was all good, wasn't it? Praise God. So the way listen to that statement. I'm going to do things in such a way, and that includes leadings that we're going to get. I do things in such a way, and leadings are going to come in such a way that teaches us faith. God will take you certain routes just to teach you some things. In other words, it almost as if, when I heard that, I started just meditating on it, and it came to me this way. It's as if we could go into this part of his plan. Now, this is talking about the church plant in Kansas City, but this is not just talking about that. It's talking about just developing in faith all over in any area. He's the author and the finisher of our faith, and he's wanting to develop us, and in some cases, there's different ways, or let's put it this way, different routes we could go to get to certain parts of his plan.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like just like there's different routes you can take to come to church.
Right.
Right? Yeah. You probably usually come mostly one route, but you could go a lot of different ways. So there's different ways. And just like the same way, there's different ways he could guide us to get into the next part of his plan. Yet he's going to choose one particular one of those ways and prompt us along that particular line. And your mind might be, well, you might, in your natural mind, you might think, well, there's an easier way to get there. Uh-huh. But see, he's got something else in mind for you to pick up on this route.
Yeah.
It's like when I was a kid, we used to play scavenger hunts.
Yeah.
Anybody know what a scavenger hunt is?
Yeah.
Then you get a little clue, and that would take you to the next point. And when you get there, you get another clue, or you get something, and then you go to the next point. And that's the way. I don't want to diminish the things of God like something cheap like that, but it's a similar thing. God will lead you He'll lead you in certain ways that because there's something over there before you get to that, that you need to pick up over here.
Amen.
And when you pick that up over there, you'll be more prepared when you arrive there.
Yes, that's good.
And God has the right to do that. Because he's really developing us. He's developing the man. Did you hear the statement we made earlier? He's developing the man, just not developing the plan.
Yes. Right.
He is developing the plan, but he needs to develop the man while the plan is developing so that the man is ready for the plan when he gets him there.
Right. Amen.
man, woman, talking about human. You know what I mean by man. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You can join this. So be okay with the way he chooses to lead you. Hallelujah. It might not be the easiest thing on your flesh. I know some people recently that said God spoke to them about being at the church in Kansas City, that was their home church. And they were younger and spiritually, and so they were sort of like, wow, that's a long drive. But the very first time they tuned in, they heard me preaching something about, it's not about the distance you have to drive, but it's about the plan, whatever God's assigned you to. I don't remember how I said it that day. But a church of lives worth a drive or something like that. And they said, well, there's our answer.
Amen.
And they hooked in.
Amen.
So what if it cost you an extra $5 of gas every week or over like that? I mean, getting the word in, you'll produce much more than $5. Even $10 or whatever. Amen. So it's about developing our faith. Sometimes God's plan is that we connect with certain people because that's going to develop our faith. He's the author and finisher of our faith, but in being the author and finisher, he'll lead us to people who can help us develop that faith. Hallelujah. So it's not important what's most convenient sometimes or certain natural considerations. You ever thought this is very inconvenient? I'm there right now. I could put up both hands and both feet, and because there's some things I'm being led to do that's very inconvenient. In fact, I've been saying to the Lord, certainly you want me to cut something out. Certainly, I feel like I'm a jack of all trades. I'm going different directions. I'm pastoring two churches. I've got some things to do in media ministry. You know, God's having us. We've got to write a book for Harrison House Publishing. Wants to publish a book through us. What else are we doing? J. Abley Ministries traveling. I said, can I cut something out? Certainly, Lord. Some of the plan that was the plan maybe in years past, maybe it's not the plan now. Maybe I'm supposed to, you know, because this is very inconvenient. So I'm praying that way, and I go to Jesus the Healer in High Springs. Pastor Nancy wants to minister to the ministers. I'm like, praise God, I'm getting direction. Hallelujah. Pastor Nancy gets in front of me and says something that I got it written down, but I'll paraphrase it. Something to the point of, you're endowed to do many different things at once and go many different directions. And if you don't go, you won't even have the strength to do what you are doing. You got to do this and you'll have the strength in the going. Well, I wrote that down because I wanted to meditate on that. Because I got to build that one into my spirit. I said, we're coming back on the plane and we were talking. And then Pastor Nancy got to writing something down. And then I started looking at that prophecy. And I started laughing. She said, what are you laughing? I said, listen to this. Because I said, you got to know the background before I read this to you. Background is I've been asking God. Certainly, this is really inconvenient. I'm going in many different directions. Seems like I'm a jack of all trades and I'm not mastering any of them. It just seems like, I don't know, I got to cut something off. And I just feel like I'm going many different directions. I said, and then I read the prophecy she prophesied to me. And she laughed. She said, certainly, certainly. Because I was saying, certainly, I need to cut. I said, certainly, you know better than God. You need to cut things out. Anyway, y'all, still glad you came.
Yes.
So it's not about convenience.
Right.
It's not about what's comfortable on the flesh.
Right.
It's not about natural considerations. Some things are about what's best for your faith.
Yes.
Some of you need to learn that.
Yes.
Some of you need to learn that. And you don't know why. Why is God leading me this direction? Because there's something for you to pick up on your scavenger hunt over there to add to your faith. Add to your faith. Add to your faith.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. So faith and how something affects your faith is a big consideration in how he's going to lead you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, I'm not talking about I'm not talking about what the devil does. I'm talking about how the Lord leads you. God doesn't send things in, send evil into your life to teach you faith. Because that's the error. That if you hear what I'm saying, I'm not talking about what the devil's doing. I'm talking about how God leads you. So just to clarify that. You want to get into some more of this? So Jesus, he's going to lead us, he's saying to me and all of us in this, because he's the author and finisher of our faith, and he'll not lead us into something that damages our faith, nor, listen to this, you ready?
Yes.
Nor is he going to lead us into something that doesn't put a demand on our faith. Because remember I said to you, there's two sides of this. One, he'll not lead you into something that's beyond your measure of faith. Because he's not trying to damage your faith. He's going to lead you in how it affects your faith.
Yes.
But there's another side to this. He's also going to lead you into things that put a stretch on your faith, because putting a stretch on your faith helps you to develop in faith. And that's good for your faith.
Amen.
Just like muscles. Muscles need to be exercised. They need to be exercised within the limits of their ability. You know, a guy that never works out doesn't want to go in and tell the gym guys, put on 300 pounds on a barbell and lay down and try to, I mean, he's going to hurt something.
Right?
So he's going to have to start out where he's at, but he needs to get there, he needs to keep stretching. He needs to keep exercising. And he can get there.
Yes.
Right? Pretty simple, but yet it's very profound. So there's two sides of it. He'll not lead you into something that's beyond your measure of faith. But on the other side of it, he's not going to lead you into something that doesn't put a demand on your faith. Our flesh likes no demand on our faith. I don't want any demand on my faith. I'm comfortable right here. I got my little life. I got my little paycheck. I got my little, you know, things. I want this in my life. This is what I got it, and I'm happy. Don't talk to me about doing anything else, about giving any offerings or doing anything or tithing. Oh, my God. But God will put a demand on your faith. Why? Because he has more for you. He has more for you than your nice little life. He has more. And in order to get you there, he's going to have to develop you in faith. And have you ever noticed we don't develop if we don't have somebody put a demand on us? The people that have loved you the most have put a demand on you. Any area, not just spiritually, but any area. You as parents, you eventually put a demand on your children, right? And more and more, you put a demand on them. You put a demand on them. And it's like if they think wrong, if they think wrong, they don't want that because they want to stay a child. Yeah, they do. A lot of them want to stay a child, but it's gonna be you're not loving them by keeping them a child.
Right.
I've seen parents keep children as a child, wouldn't let them go out and have friends and interact, and you know, they smother them and they call it love, but it's not love at all, because their children aren't developing.
That's right. That's
socially, exactly. Mentally, physically, spiritually. It's love to get them out there and prepare them for growing up. And so God loves you, and he wants more for you, so he won't just let you stay a child. He'll put a demand on you. Now, I don't mean demand like you absolutely have to do something, but he'll prompt you, he'll prod you, he'll pull the lining out of your nest, so to speak. There are such things as, and this is by the Holy Ghost, will work a divine dissatisfaction into you at times. I'm not talking about covetousness or something like that. I'm talking about you just are not satisfied on the level of faith you're at. You're not satisfied on the level of knowing God, that you know God. You're not satisfied on the level of your love walk or something. And that divine dissatisfaction can be a stirring to get out of the spiritual nest or whatever and get out there and grow up.
Yeah. Grow up.
Come on. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, growing up is a good thing. Amen. Hallelujah. So God's really going to prepare you for what's ahead for you. He has more in mind, but he has to prepare you to get you into it. Tell your neighbor he's got to prepare you. That's the thing I've noticed about God. Whatever he has me doing in his plan right now, I've noticed that once I get to the next part of the plan, I can always, every time this is true, I can always look back and say, wow.
Yeah.
Everything back there that I was doing, yes, it was the plan of God for me back there, but a lot of it was just preparing me for what I'm going to do now.
Amen.
The genius of God. Life is to be a flow. From one season into the next. And it's not supposed to be herky-jerky flow. Some people, their life's not a flow. It's like a run here, run there. It's like scatterbrain kind of running all over. No, it's a flow. Whatever he's got you doing now, it's preparing you for what's ahead. Praise the Lord. So he's got to teach us many, many things where we are. And we need to be okay about that. So he won't lead you beyond your measure of faith, like we said, but neither will he let you just stay comfortable or whatever level you're on right now. He'll prompt you to stretch your faith. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 2:14, he leads us as, this is the Amplified Classic, as in triumph, as trophies of Christ's victory. So he'll lead, he'll lead you from victory into victory. He'll lead you from victory to victory.
Yes.
In other words, he'll have you learn on the lion and the bear.
Yes. Yes.
So and gain some little victories under your belt so that you can, because, and listen, the lion and the bear, it saved him from losing all those sheep. Yes. But it wasn't just about that. God's preparing him for Goliath.
Yes.
We're talking about David killing the lion and the bear, remember?
Yeah. Yeah.
And David even brought that up whenever he stood before King Saul. God trained me. Basically, he's telling King Saul, God trained me on the lion and the bear.
Right.
So I know what to do here in the presence of this uncircumcised Philistine. And one of the things I know not to do is be afraid. Like all these wusses around here. They're just all just. All the Israeli soldiers were scared, shaking in their boots. And here's a little 17-year-old stripling of a kid that didn't know anything about they had not been to the military academy. He didn't know anything about war, but he knew something about spiritual laws. And he knew something about walking by faith. And he's far surpassed all the other soldiers in the natural because he had let God train him on the lion and the bear. And he passed his tests. He didn't draw back. He didn't flunk. He didn't say, well, just, you know, the lion bear will get that one. No, he stood up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
All right.
He stood up and he said no and got a great victory. He said, I learned something about walking by faith.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
And all that was preparation for, you know, the big ugly that was getting ready to come.
Yeah.
Right.
Come on.
Goliath. Hallelujah. I'm enjoying preaching to you tonight. So he leads us in triumph as trophies of Christ's victory. From triumph to triumph. From triumph to not from triumph to failure.
Yeah.
You know, you win some, you lose some. No, if you're led by the Holy Ghost. In fact, go over. Let me give you a verse on this. I'll be able to find it here in a moment. I thought I had it right here in my notes. But I don't have it right here in my notes. But there's a verse that says, I believe it's 1 Timothy 1:1. In the Amplified Classic, it talks about my goodness, I need to find that. But it talks about in the Amplified Classic, it talks about the divine training which is in faith. 1 Timothy 1:4 in the Amplified Classic. It does, don't be occupied with fables and genealogies and all those other things, but be occupied with, amongst other things, the divine training which is in faith.
Yes.
Listen to that. There's a Holy Ghost faith school.
Yes, amen.
That the Holy Ghost will take you through.
That's
take
right.
Take every one of his children through.
That's so good.
In order to train them in a life of faith.
Amen.
train them in a lot of things. He'll train them in the love walk. He'll train them in a lot of things. Don't misunderstand me. But this is what we're talking about tonight. The life of faith.
Yes.
The life of faith.
Amen.
And the training, listen to me, the training, yes, it's Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, that's training us, but he does what he does through the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit is how the Lord talks to us today.
Yeah.
So he'll train us when worry comes up, for example, or an evil report, the doctor's report, or something comes up, or a great big need comes up, or something like that. And our pattern or our habit has been to just go to worry.
Right.
We go to worry and we go to fretting and we start losing sleep or whatever. The Holy Ghost in us, if we'll listen to him, will say, faith 101. You'll hear him. You'll hear him inside of your spirit. Tap the desk, say, attention class. Attention class. I'm the tutor. I'm your tutor in faith.
Yes.
Now remember what Pastor preached back there whenever he was preaching on Philippians 4. Don't fret or have any anxiety about anything.
Yep.
And he'll bring up what was taught.
Yep.
And he'll remind you about it. And endeavor to school you. He will school you, but that doesn't mean we listen.
That's right.
But he will school us into faith. And what we used to do, he'll school us out of that. Because he's endeavoring to get us into something better that he has for us. So in every believer's life, there's a Holy Ghost faith school. There's a lot of different schools. This school has a lot of classes in it.
Yes, sir.
It has love class.
Yeah.
It has a marriage class. It has a lot of classes. But this one's the one. This is the one that's one of the main ones.
Amen.
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 You say, why would you say that? Well, Ephesians 6 takes take up the whole armor of God.
Yes,
and then above all, take the shield of faith. So this is one of the main classes.
That's good.
Above all means above all. These are more. This is more important than everything else.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah. That went over like a lead balloon. I could feel some of you didn't like that. Amen. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Above all. Above all. Above all, take faith 101. Above all, take get a hold of the life of faith. If you learn to walk by faith, it'll help you in your love walk.
Amen.
Because you find out, it's not about feelings. It's about acting on the word by faith.
Amen.
When I don't feel lovely, I act lovely because the love of God is shed abroad in my heart. And I do that not by feelings. I do it by faith.
Amen.
So above all, take the shield. Above all, take class 101. Faith 101.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So all believers, really, if they'll listen on the inside, he'll school them right out of worry. Out of taking thought and taking care, taking, you know, anxious thoughts into their minds.
Yeah.
He'll school them into that. Praise the Lord. He'll also school them into listening.
Yeah,
that's the direction I was going to go tonight. Learning to listen.
Yeah.
Listen. I don't mean learning to have it bounce off our eardrums. I mean, have you ever told your children to do something and they said, yes, mommy, and then they never did it?
Yeah.
Did they listen? Huh?
No.
Over here, I may ask you over here. Did they listen?
No.
You sure?
Yes, sir.
Well, when the word was preached in church and we go out and do nothing with it, did we listen? Did we listen? Oh, I heard it, but did we listen?
Right.
There's a difference between hearing and listening. So, praise the Lord. He'll school us in listening.
Yes, he will.
He'll school us in listening. So, are you still glad you came to church tonight?
Yes.
So, he'll lead us as in triumph from victory after victory. In other words, not from victory to failure. If you'll let the Holy Ghost school you, he'll take you from victory to victory.
Yes.
And you've heard me say this, faith is built on successive successes.
Yeah.
Successive success. So I learned how to do that. Ooh, yeah. Yeah, that worked. Look at that. Woo, man. Oh, man. Actually, Pastor preached the sermon and it worked. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, now I got a new weapon under my belt. I learned how to take that thought captive or whatever.
Yep. Amen. Come on.
And you just keep learning and you keep having successes and successes. And then, but the continual learning is never, you should never, and I should never live in such a way where we relax.
Yeah.
Now that sounds like don't rest. I'm not talking about don't cast your care on the Lord. I mean, relax the stretch of our faith.
Come on.
Right? A number of years ago, I don't remember how many years ago it was. I don't know why I was looking at something. I was looking for something I'd preach or something. I was watching a video of me preaching. And I got distracted from what I was saying to how I looked. Because I was up there preaching. I kind of was looking like an old man. I said, you look like an old man. And I thought to myself, why are you stooping over like that?
Yeah.
Kind of stooped, looked a little stooped. So I thought to myself, I've heard people say that these muscles right here in the core, you know, are the reason people stoop, usually. Yeah. I mean, there might be, there's other reasons. Yeah. Am I right? Here's a nurse, she can tell you.
Right.
If these muscles get weak, you start losing your posture, you know.
Yeah.
So I said, all right, that's it. I'm not going to look like an old man. Let somebody else look like an old man. I'm going to look like the Planters peanut guy, you know what I'm talking about? You ever notice him? He's just. So I started working on it. Doing exercise. Found out how to do it. Found out I had glutes and glutoids and all these muscles I didn't know I had. But I knew. So I started working on them, and I started straightening back up.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Praise the Lord. Why did I say that? I don't know why I said that. That was pretty good, though, wasn't it? Oh, that's right. If you don't exercise something, you get flabby. That's what I was trying to say.
That's a good point.
Same thing with your faith.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
God doesn't want your faith getting flabby.
Yeah. Right.
That's right. You'll start stooping in faith.
All right.
Start looking like an old man in faith. Praise God. Y'all getting it tonight? So I don't want to be flabby. There's things that, in fact, it's kind of interesting. Almost this last year, you know, we all just went through tax season. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Render to Caesar what's Caesar's, right?
Yeah.
And I was looking at everything after we got it all laid out and everything. And it's almost, not exactly, but almost, our income was double what our salary is here.
All right,
almost. Amen. We took a raise in salary. What was it, 2 years ago or something? But that's the first time we had a raise in maybe, I don't know if it was 10 years. I hope I'm not exaggerating. I'm not intending to exaggerate, but I don't think it was, I think it was like 10 years we hadn't received a raise. Because I didn't want to get flabby in faith.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I want to believe God. I want to use my faith to believe God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He said, well, I couldn't do that. Oh, if you knew how good it was, you could. Praise the Lord. Some of you don't like it, but that's all right. So, praise God for the word. He's actually saying, remember the statement, I'm going to do things in such a way that develops your faith. He's basically saying, There's a way that you might want to go about certain things, but I might lead you a different direction. And if you'll listen to me, you'll develop in faith quicker. Because you'll take the route of least, that requires the least faith. I'll say the flesh will. There's accounts in the Bible where Jesus said a couple times to people, great faith. Remember the woman, O woman, great is thy faith.
Yes.
The other one was the man that said, the centurion who came to Jesus and said, this is Luke 7, came to Jesus and said, he said, well, I think the way, the two different accounts, two different gospels, kind of, you bring it all together, you see that he sent some people to Jesus. The centurion sent some people to Jesus. And then the centurion heard that Jesus was coming, and he said, don't trouble yourself. You don't need to come under my, speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. Yes. Now, Jesus was offering to do this by coming and laying hands on the servant. Jesus was offering to come. Come and minister that particular way. But the man said, not necessary. Just speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. Whoa!
Yeah.
That's a good place to be, where you thank God for laying on hands. We believe in laying on hands. We believe in all of it. Thank God for all of it. But the highest way to receive is the word only.
Yes, that's so good.
And that's a good place to get in life. To develop in faith to where you need the word only. Speak the word only, he said. And so Jesus was offering to do it another way, but he said, let's go the high route. I'm a man under authority. I understand a man, he's a centurion in the Roman army. He says, I know what it's like to say to a man, go, and he goes, come, and he comes. I know this authority. I know when authority says it's done. And you're an authority spiritually in a different kind of a realm. You're in the spiritual realm. And when you say, be healed, my servant will be healed. So just say the word.
Just say the word.
Just say the word. And Jesus went, he turned around to his faith team, his disciples. He said, I haven't found faith like this in all of Israel. In other words, including you bozos. He's basically telling them, I haven't even found faith like that in you. Glory!
Glory!
So he was pleased. How many of you can see Jesus was pleased there? He was pleased whenever Jesus had offered to operate on a lower level of faith for that, in a way that that man had only had to operate on a lower level of faith.
Yeah.
He was offering a lower level, but this man chose a higher level.
Yes.
And he was very pleased. He said, great faith, great faith. Don't you want to get beyond just getting your needs met and get to the place you impress Jesus?
Yes.
They said amen over here. Did anybody say amen? Amen.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Woo! Glory be to God.
Yes.
You got nothing under you but the word of God. And then you just step out.
Amen.
Just step out. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Human thinking thinks, well, it's easier. I'll go this route. Why do we always want the easy route?
Come on.
Well, seriously.
Yeah, well, it's the flesh, really.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Well, you get anything out of this tonight?
Yes, sir.
A lot of times the flesh would like to go a different route, but let's choose the high flow.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Man esteems things differently than God does. Man, you know, Luke 16, verse number 16:15 says, God, that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination before God many times. So that's just another way of saying whatever a lot of men say is important, God doesn't see as important. What God sees as important, a lot of men don't see as important. And that's true with this area of developing their faith. A lot of people don't think about this when it comes to which way am I going to go. They just think about, well, this costs less. You hear me?
Yes.
It's not about the cost.
Right.
Amen.
It costs less to drive back and forth to Kansas City every weekend.
Yeah.
But it wasn't about the cost to him. It was what was best for our faith. And was best for our bodies. But right on the other hand, we need, for where we're going, we need to develop that kind of faith. And that's a big issue. People say, well, no, that's too much money. It's not about, wrong thinking.
Yeah.
What they esteem is not what God esteems. So therefore, they're always zigging when he's zagging. Or he'll say something for them to do and they can't figure it out. So I guess that's not God because I can't figure it out. As if, you know, in our intelligence, we know more than God. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Jesus wanted to go a different route in the Garden of Gethsemane. If it's possible, let's do this a different way.
Yeah.
Let this cup pass from me.
Yes.
Yet the consecration that he had to the plan of God said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad that he said that? Because we're all standing here, sitting here redeemed tonight. Because he said, the way you want to go, that's the way we're going. He's saying, there's got to be another way. There's got to be another way. Maybe we can find a super sheep and offer it, you know. Because they have been offering sheep and goats. Just some of you are staying awake at least. Hallelujah. Can you see that God's, what's important to God is that this, how's this affect the plan? Yes, but how's this affect our faith? Praise the Lord. He'll always lead you to put a stretch on your faith. God will always lead you to put a stretch on your faith. Be okay with that. Just learn to be okay. Learn, because I've had people say, you know, they learn to walk by faith. Let's say they come and they want healing and they learn to walk by faith. And so they say, okay, now I'm walking by faith and I'll be so glad when this is over. Hello. Is this mic on? This is for life.
Right.
You mean it's going to take me my lifetime to get healed? That's not what I said.
No.
This will produce your healing, but this is the way God wants you to live. The just shall live by faith. That's usually where some check out. Separates the men from the boys, girls from the women. Amen. I just want to get my healing and go back to living the way I was living. Well, go ahead, sweetheart. But it's dangerous to come up to light and not walk in it. The Lord said to me one time, the space between where the light you have and where you're walking, that's the space the devil has opportunity to get in. Yeah, so we better stand up and go home on that one. Brother Hagin used to say this. He says, it's dangerous to come up to light and not walk in it. Well, I don't want to live this way. I just want to get healed. Well, good. We want you to get healed. God wants you to get healed. But he has a whole life of supernatural flows and provision. And why wouldn't we want that? The flesh doesn't want that. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Praise the Lord. So say it out loud. He'll always lead me in such a way. Put a stretch on my faith. How many of you know, not beyond our measure of faith, but up to the limits of our faith? Yeah. See, we want to sit far back, way back from the edge of our faith.
Yeah.
I mean, it's comfortable.
Yeah. Come on.
Vision Sunday comes along. Well, we can give, you know, we got money in the bank. We can give that.
Yeah.
But God puts something in our heart that we don't even have.
Uh-huh.
Well, God, that can't be you. I don't even have it.
Yeah.
Well, the woman that Elijah showed up at her house, she said, remember whenever she said, he said, go get me some water. She went and he said, no, and bring me a little cake. Well, I don't have.
Yeah.
Oh, she had it.
Yeah.
It just was earmarked for something else.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. That's good.
Come on.
Yeah.
I'm not telling people to give something that they had earmarked for something else. I believe in savings and things like that. But if I'm talking about if the Holy Ghost, not the preacher, I'm not talking about the preacher saying something. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost saying something. Besides that, if we don't have it, even if we put everything we got in every account together and we don't have it, the fact that he's asking us to do it says that he has a plan in getting it to us. Else he wouldn't be even saying to do it. How'd I get on that? I don't know. I have any idea how I got on that. That lady couldn't see. She said, I don't have a little cake. She couldn't see. Let's say, because people say it was between 9 months to a year that barrel of meal didn't fail and the cruise of oil didn't fail. Let's just say it was a year to make the math easy.
Yeah, sure.
For three people, okay, she's feeding Elijah, she's feeding herself and her son. So for 3 years times 365, where are the math whizzes here? That's well over 1,000.
Yep. Wow.
That's well over 1,200, isn't it? Right on 1,200 meals.
Yeah.
Three times 365, cakes.
Yep.
1,235. Well over 1,200 cakes that God had ready for her.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And she's saying, I don't have it. Well, you have 1,235. You just don't know it.
Yeah.
If I did the math right. 1,235. Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, God has, he wants to do more for you than sometimes you even want for yourself. But he needs you to stretch. Because without putting a stretch on us, we'll stay in the natural. But when we stretch in faith, we tap into supernatural. And boy, I've been there. We've been there, I don't know how many times we've been in services where we just emptied our wallets. Yeah. Not because of big pressure campaigns and the preachers were putting big, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about we're just prompted.
Yes, sir.
Well, I've never done that. Well, we didn't used to think that was God either, but we found out there's a flow.
Yeah.
There's a flow. Well, it's getting quiet in here now. That's why we've developed. We keep stretching it. We keep stretching it. We keep stretching it.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
God's got more for you than sometimes you even realize and maybe even think you desire in life. Until you get there and you're like, oh, I like this.
Come on.
Thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you. It helps us. It teaches us the way you see things. And we want to know your ways, and these are your ways. As you started us out tonight, we want to know your ways. This is the way you do things. You keep stretching us in faith, and you do things by developing us in faith. And Father, now that we've seen this, at least we've seen it before, but at least we see it better tonight. Now that we see it better tonight, Father, we can better cooperate with how you're leading us. And rather than draw back, we press into this. We press in and we let you develop us. Hallelujah. And Father, a year from now, we're not going to look like, our lives are not going to look like it looks right now. Because we're stretching and we're reaching. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. 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 Have you discovered yet God wants to do more for you than you even want him to do for you? I found that out. He just needs me to walk with him in this. Know his ways. Amen. Well, turn to somebody and say, we got some help and some answers tonight. Hallelujah. And how many of you are going to just keep on stretching now? You're not going to go out and forget this tonight. Right? But keep on stretching. Keep on stretching and taking those steps.